So I want to talk about Our Lady a little bit tonight so that you will understand the theological underpinnings of the power of the rosary tomorrow. So, so important. So in order to understand Mary, we have to understand Jesus Christ. When I would read the New Testament as a college student, I would look at the New Testament and say, I can't relate to that. Jesus said, you will do greater things in my name. I can't relate to that. Jesus said, I've come to set the world on fire. I can't relate to that. Jesus said, you will have streams of living water flowing through you. I can't relate to that. I have to leave you so that the advocate will come and he will lead you to the fullness of the truth. I can't relate to that. And in many places, not here, but in many places, the Catholic Church is dying. And even in places that are doing well, there's more people who don't go to church that are Catholic than people who are actually in the building. That's not Jesus' plan for Christianity. And I think one of the things that has happened is that our Protestant brothers and sisters, as well-meaning as they are, their theology, bad as it is, has impacted our theology. Jesus, he didn't just die on the cross so that I could enter into heaven and not go to hell. God became a man so that man can become like God. Theosis. He came for union with us. Jesus came for us to become one. If I go to heaven, it is only because I am a member, a real member of the body of Christ. Where St. Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ did not come here to make followers. He came here to make other Christs. We become partakers of the divine nature. I become like God. That's Jesus' promise, that the power of God will flow through you. The gates of hell shall not prevail against you. And we have interpreted that to mean that if we're good, maybe our little community, we can put up walls and we can keep the devil out of our family. That's not what Jesus meant. Jesus was a winner. Jesus meant by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will break down the gates of hell. Where there's hell all over your family, where nobody in your family has the faith, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to break down those gates. Just one of you. Where there's depression, where there's despair, where there's fear, you're going to bring the light of Christ and you will not be afraid because you and Christ can take on an army. That's Christ's promise. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. And how? Well, first and foremost, we receive his body, blood, soul, and divinity in the sacraments. And when we fail, we go to him in confession. The goal of Christianity is union with Christ. And the desire of Christ, besides receiving him in the sacraments, the number one place where you become one with Christ, and Christians, I struggled with this for a long time until I finally understood it, is by doing God's will. I must become, you must become obsessed with the will of God. Your predominant concern at every morning prayer, every afternoon prayer is, God, what is your will? Reveal to me your will. And give me the strength and the courage to do it. That is the secret of Christianity. Anybody who wishes to become my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It is not those who say, Lord, Lord, who shall enter the kingdom of God, but only those who do the will of my heavenly Father. When you do God's will, four things, I give you my word, four things will happen consistently. And some of you, I know, because you're human, you have children who have left the Catholic faith and you're despairing for them. You're concerned about them. Let me give you hope. Let me give you hope. Our hearts are restless. Yes, they're restless until they rest in God, but St. Augustine didn't go far enough. Our hearts are restless until we do God's will. God has created each and every single one of us with a specific plan, with a specific purpose, with a will for us that's only for me and only for you, and it's not the same for any other person. And if you do God's will, no matter how hard it is, you will have peace of soul. If the Lord God Almighty one day convicts you, you need to fast for your son, or you need to pray four rosaries a day for your husband. If that is the voice of God and you don't do it, and you're sitting there eating your burger, can you eat that burger in peace? No, you can't. Could you sit there and watch Jeopardy or watch football with a clear conscience? No, you can't. But if it was God's will and you knew it was his will to fast or to pray a long time for their salvation, you would have peace of soul only when you accomplished his will. And God has a plan for every single one of us, and he will reveal it to us. The ordinary ways are the duties of your state in life. But more importantly, he will reveal it to you when you say, Lord, what is your will for me? What do you want of me? So important. We don't do that. We go to God in prayer for him to do what we want. That's not how it works. We go to the Our Father. Many people say, the Our Father, I don't like it. It's so hard to say, forgive us our trespasses. That's a hard thing to say, to forgive me as I forgive others. That's hard, but you know what's harder? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When it rains and you've got a party planned outside and you fight with God over it, your problem is you don't want God's will. It's God's will that it rains. Praise you, Jesus, that it's raining. Praise you, Lord, that I'm sick. What else will happen if you do God's will? It will make you holy. It will make you holy. If it's God's will that you wash the dishes, I know, wives, I know. I know. We don't notice when the house is clean. We only notice when the house is dirty. Why is the house so dirty? I never notice when it's clean. I know. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. If it's God's will that you clean that house, grace will flow. It will make you holy. Gentlemen, same thing. I don't like washing dishes. I don't like washing dishes. I have children. I love them. But one of the greatest things I love about having children is that I don't have to wash the dishes. I get plates out and there's food crusted on them. And I hate that. But I don't hate that enough for me to wash the dishes. But God forbid one day it is God's will that I get home and my wife says, people are coming over. Are the dishes clean? Let me check. No, they're all, the food is literally crusted on because of a bad job. One day, God forbid, it is his will that I have to chisel off fried cheese from a plate. That will make me holy. It will. It will. It's a cross, but that's what will make me holy. When you do God's will, it is as if God himself is doing it. St. Teresa of Avila, doctor of the church, says, Jesus has no hands and feet except for our own. Another thing that will happen when you embrace God's will is that we often pray for our family and our friends to convert. But when you do God's will, and I die with every washing of every single plate, and I say, Lord, only for you, I am perpetuating my sacrifice, and grace is flowing into the life of my family members. So much so that I don't even need to preach to them. When it's God's will to preach, you preach. But it's not God's will that we always preach. Sometimes you have to be as cunning as a serpent and as gentle as a dove. And we'll talk about that at a later time. But the grace flows into their life through the sacrifice of my will for God's will. The thing that separates you from an animal, the thing that makes you you is your will. It kills you to not do your will. You will also have supernatural success when you do God's will. I don't have time to get into every miracle of Jesus, but the multiplication of the loaves and fishes only happened because people were obedient to God's will. Water being turned into wine only happened because there were servants willing to obey the voice of God. Had they not cooperated, there would be no water into wine. When you do God's will, grace flows, peace enters your heart, sinners are converted. Everything in the Christian life hinges upon you saying yes to the will of God. That is Christianity. If doing God's will and being one with God is not your primary goal, the rosary means nothing. Marian devotion means nothing. So if that's the goal of Christianity, union with Christ, that's Mary's role. I can now understand Mary. Why should I love Mary? Because my goal is to be one with Christ. If I'm really one with the body of Christ, the mother of the head is the mother of the body. to say, Mary, I love you. Mary, what do you want of me? Mary, help me. Mary, pray for me. That is to be like Christ. That is the goal of Christianity. Jesus loved us so much that he gives us his flesh and blood. Jesus loves us so much that he gives us the sacrament of confession. Jesus loves us so much that he gives us his very own mother. St. Augustine says, all of the saints in heaven were made saints by the hands of the Mother of God. What does that mean? To be a saint is to be one with Christ. If you die and go to heaven, it is only because you are one with Christ. You are only made one with Christ. The body of Christ is formed in the womb of Mary. And so too, the members of the body of Christ are formed in the womb of Mary. And this is scriptural. The devil will say many lies to us. How much can I love Mary? How much can I pray to Mary versus how much do I pray to Jesus? Wrong question. Wrong question. How can I love Mary more is the right question, because Jesus is love. God is love in flesh, and I can never love her as much as Jesus loved her. Do not fear loving her too much. It's impossible. Not even Jesus himself could love her too much. And his love for her did not take away from his love of God the Father. Do not fear that. In going to Mary, I don't go to Mary in place of Jesus. I go to Jesus with Mary. By going to Mary, three things happen. Theologically, three things happen. By me saying, Mary, you're my mother, number one thing that happens that makes me like Christ by the very act of accepting her as my mother, because Christ accepted her as his mother. Thing number two that happens, her active role, she makes me into Christ. As you begin to spend time with Mary, just as you begin to spend time with any person, you begin to become like her. And she was most perfectly like Christ. Giving myself to her makes me like Christ. She actively works to make me like Christ. By spending time with her, I become more modest. I become more patient. I become more humble. In other words, I become more like her. In other words, I become more like Christ. How much did Jesus love Mary? How intimately united are Jesus and Mary? Jesus' only flesh, his only blood, was given to him by the Virgin Mary. The blood that was supplied for his heart to pump came 100% from the Virgin Mary. His flesh came 100% from the Virgin Mary. All the nutrients of his body came 100% from the Virgin Mary. Every drop of milk that he received came from the breast of Mary. All of his warmth, all of his consolation came from Mary. And so too the Christian and the spiritual order. And this is scriptural. This is biblical. The devil will say, where is that in the Bible? My goodness, I could talk to you for hours about where that is in the Bible. I would be here all night breaking down the typological places that that's in the Bible. Ain't nobody got time for that tonight. I wish we did. I'll keep you here all night. But then you won't come back tomorrow because you're too tired because you didn't go to sleep. I had a cup of coffee at 4 o'clock, so that's why I'm like this. And I love Mary. But briefly, I'll give you the bookends. From the very beginning of the Bible, the scriptures are about a man and a woman, Adam and Eve, and a serpent. And God the Father tells the serpent, the devil, I am going to put enmity, I'm going to put a war between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. So from the very beginning of the Bible, there is a eschatological, an end times battle that we should all be keeping our eyes on, because there's a war going to happen between the dragon and the woman. Where's this woman and where are her offspring? I love the Gospel of John. I could talk to you for an hour just on the Gospel of John. John is a brilliant man. When you read the Gospel of John, you're reading the writings of a child of Mary. Hallmarks of the hand of Mary in your life is when she acts, when God acts through Mary, there's webs. Everything is attached. One thing means four things. So when John writes, in the beginning was the Word, John is making a reference to the book of Genesis. It's a parallel. And you could find many references. And then if you're careful and you're reading John, on the next day, on the next day, on the next day. And then this happened. And then on the third day, so you're counting the days, there's 7 days in John's gospel. And on the seventh day, there's a wedding feast. And Jesus calls Mary woman, just like Adam calls Eve woman. And just as Eve tempts Adam to do the first sin, Mary tempts, in a way, encourages Jesus to work the first miracle. Just as Eve believed an evil angel, Mary believed a good angel. Just as Eve is the mother of all of those biologically living, Mary is the mother of all of those spiritually living. There's so many parallels in John. And the most important parallel is at the cross, at the tree of life. Where did Adam and Eve sin? At the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How did they sin? The woman took the fruit, and then they ate it. How are we redeemed? The fruit of Mary's womb goes back on the tree. How are we saved? We eat the body of Christ. And the last thing that Jesus does to make us one with him, he says to the disciple whom he loved, "Behold your mother." Every early church father, every saint, every doctor of the church, every pope has been unanimous that the beloved disciple is every single one of us. The apostles abandoned Christ, except for one apostle, the one who took Mary as his mother. And he represents every single one of those who will make it to the end. Every single one of those who says, "I have a special love for Christ." John is the one who rested his head on the heart of Christ, the first one to have a devotion to the Sacred Heart. But he had a love for the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And in the book of Revelation, also written by John, he continues the parallel of calling Mary woman. Big brain John, 4D chess John. The 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 17, John describes a war. Book ending, the Old Testament, book of Genesis, the New Testament, book of Revelation, and the dragon goes off to make war against the woman and her offspring. And then John is very clear. And those offspring are those who believe in Jesus Christ and try to keep the commandments. My brothers and sisters, you will not win the war against the devil unless you are a child of Mary. St. Maximilian Kolbe says, "The Immaculata alone has the promise from God to crush the head of the serpent." And she crushes it, and she always crushes it. Utter humiliation for the devil against the children of Mary. You are a child of Mary, and I know you believe it here. I've said it in my own head many times, but you know the saying that there's a long distance between our head and our heart. And the number one way to appreciate Mary as your mother is to take a look at a biological mother. Everything, according to the theology in the sacraments, God takes natural things and supernaturalizes them. Water, which is used for cleansing, which is necessary for life, is supernaturalized by Jesus Christ in the sacrament of baptism. I need baptism for eternal life. I'm cleansed from my sins. The Eucharist, the bread, etc. You can make all these parallels. So too with the mother. Biologically, I've seen 4 children be born. I wasn't paying attention to the spiritual aspects of it. For the first 3, I was really confused. I was like, why is my child covered in slime? I was confused. But the 4th one, I was ready. And when they took out my daughter, Bernadette, and handed her to my wife, I witnessed a miracle. I saw the intensity of the love of a mother seeing her child for the first time. It doesn't matter that you're naked. It doesn't matter that you're cut open. It doesn't matter that you're bleeding and suffering. A mother, when she sees her baby for the first time, cannot take her eyes off that child. She's examining that child from head to toe. And what does the mother do? The first thing that she wants to do and the first thing that the baby wants is to breastfeed that child. And that milk is very powerful. That child comes out of the womb wanting a mother's milk, suckling. Why? Because it provides comfort. It provides strength. It provides life. And it hurts a mother when she can't breastfeed her child. It stresses her out really badly. And when a baby cries, I didn't know this Well, my wife made very clear several times. I don't get it still, because I have what's called selective hearing. I know this is very rare in men. I'm just kidding. But I can tune out a crying baby. A woman can't. It really bothers a mother to hear another baby crying. And it will cause her breast to fill up with milk if she can't nurse her baby. It causes a real, true ache and pain to not be able to breastfeed. And so too the mother of God. If that's true in the natural order, how much is it true when a mother, Our Lady, who loves you, according to St. Alphonsus, loves you. He's a doctor of moral theology, so whenever I quote St. Alphonsus, your ears better perk up. Don't argue with me, because you're wrong. St. Alphonsus says, Our Lady loves you. When she looks at you, she looks at you with the love she has for Jesus Christ, because she readily handed over her son in exchange for you. And she loved Jesus with a theological virtue of faith that outmatched every saint that's ever lived. At the cross, she suffered more than every saint. All of the martyrs combined, you put their suffering into one person, does not match the suffering of Our Lady. Does not match it. She died that day. All the martyrs, when you see them, you see St. Paul carrying a sword. You see St. Peter crucified upside down. You see St. Bartholomew with the instruments of his martyrdom. The instrument of Mary's death with the death of her son. If she could have died in his place, she would have. But she lived, and she would suffer it over and over again if she had to, just to say, you're my daughter, you're my son. And when you don't call upon her name, that breaks her heart, and she cries, and she weeps. Call upon her name. Saint Bernard, doctor of the church, said, are you in agony? Are you depressed? Are you fearful? Are you hopeless? Then call upon the name of Mary. Because never was it known that anybody who called upon her was ever left unaided. Call upon the name of Mary and don't stop calling upon her name. It is impossible for her to resist you. She can't help herself but nourish you. I've tried her hand. I've suffered deep anguishes and deep agonies. And I've said, Blessed Mother, I'm giving a talk tomorrow and I can't lie to people. You either help or you don't. And she's always helped. There's something about the love of a mother that's wired into us. My children teach me everything about the love of a mother. I'm such a loving man. My love language is touch. I will hug my children. I will kiss my children. I love them. But when my daughter is sick and I say, oh, my baby, what's wrong? I don't feel good, Daddy. Oh, my baby, I love you. I'll give you some Tylenol. What do you need? I'll pray with you. Here's your little stuffy of Jesus and St. Therese. Where's Mom? What? You insult me. I will go hold the baby now. And you know what the baby does? What are you doing, baby? I don't have breasts. Not ones that give out milk. You insult me too. But we all have experienced it. A mother goes in to console her child who's sick. She does nothing. She does nothing. She just pats their head and says, there, here's some Tylenol. But something changes when Mom enters the room. You just know everything's going to be okay. There's grown men who go to war and are dying, crying out for their mothers, because there's something that happens when Mom is around and you're all wired for her. We have concupiscence towards God. You might not notice that. We have a disordered inclination to think that God doesn't love us and that I am not good enough and that I can sin in such a way that he doesn't love me. We've all felt that. The disposition of God is love and always love, but our disordered inclination is to think that we're not good enough. And we're not good enough. There's a truth to that. But he's so much better than we imagine. But there's no disordered inclination towards Mary. We know we can go to her. I know some sinful people who've had years of sin in their lives, and they feel like God doesn't love them. But you know what they can do? They can ask Mary. For some reason, they just know that the love of a mother will love a miserable, wretched person. But mothers don't leave us there. So I'm going to teach you how to be holy with Mary. There's two steps. They also apply to Jesus, but Mary's soul magnifies the Lord. So you have to understand this. It is God's will. It is God's holy will that you accept Mary as your mother and you live like it. She's more powerful than your earthly mother. St. Alphonsus says, God is omnipotent by nature. Mary is omnipotent by grace. All powerful by grace. That means as a gift, because God has given her authority. And then St. Alphonsus adds to that, don't argue with me. I know you're grumbling, some of you. How can he say he's omnipotent? She's not God. It's a gift, man. And St. Alphonsus pushes you even further and says, she's omnipotent even over the heart of God. Where's that in the Bible, dude? I'll show you where that's in the Bible. John chapter 2. They have no more wine. Woman, what is this to you and to me? And she doesn't argue. The fathers of the church say, when Jesus says, it is not my hour, that means the answer is no. I'm not working this. It is not my will. And we have from Scripture, Mary turning to the servants and saying, do whatever he tells you. He ain't playing that game with me. I'm his mother. And Jesus does not say a second word. And Mary's the one who noticed. When you accept Mary into your family, into your own life, she will be the one pointing out what's lacking. And she will intercede for you. But did she ruin the plan of God? Did she overrule God? Is she God? No. It is the will of God the Father that you have a mother that has power just to show you how much he loves you. He's so generous that he's giving you a shortcut. There are no shortcuts in the spiritual life except for one, and her name is Mary. Call upon her name. It is God's will. A fool goes alone. A fool goes alone. There are favors that God will not grant you unless you go to him with, in, and through Mary. And that's scriptural. All of the public ministry, when it started, hinged upon Mary's intercession. And she knew what it would cost her son, and she did it anyways. Why? Because she's the heart of a mother that cannot resist her children. When you call upon her, she will help you. It might not be the way you want. It might not be the way you expect, but she will help you. So step number one of being holy with Mary. This is important. Ram, we're wrapping up. We've got about 10, 15 minutes left. Make an act of faith in the presence of Mary. St. Alphonsus says, because Mary is your mother and her salvation and her sanctity depends upon her doing God's will perfectly, she has to be a perfect mother for you. A perfect mother knows what her child is about. She knows what her child is doing. St. Alphonsus says that she never takes her eyes off of a child of hers. What is she? Omnipotent? What is she? Omniscient? What is she? As a grace from God, God has given her a special grace to be your mother. So everything that she has is because she is completely consumed in God. This is how the saints work and operate. They can hear your prayers because they are completely consumed in the presence of God. And so they are partakers of the divine nature. So number one, make an act of faith in the presence of Mary. Just saying, Blessed Mother, I believe that you're here. And I'll tell you how she's here in a moment. Blessed Mother, I believe you're watching me. Blessed Mother, I believe you love me. Blessed Mother, I believe you're here. That changes the temperature in the room. If you're tempted to lust, for example, you're tempted to commit a solitary sin, would you do that if Mama was sitting next to you? No, you would not. You'd be like, I'm being good. I promise. Put my phone in my pocket. I'm on my best behavior. How much more the Mother of God? Oh my gosh, she is really next to you, bro. And she's so beautiful. She's so beautiful. When I was in high school and in college, I used to play baseball. And we would run many miles. And we would run past the girls playing softball. And even though I was exhausted, let me tell you what. I'd puff my chest out. I'd cock my head back. Hey, ladies. Why? Because a beautiful woman does that to a man. And they say, the saints say, that Mary is so beautiful that once you see her, you want to die to see her again. That's what St. Bernadette said. the children of Fatima long to see Mary again. She's so beautiful, she's so good, and she's always with you. So that's step number one. It's very simple. You can pray always. When you're driving your car, make an act of recollection. Just being aware of God's presence, and God is present because He's omnipotent. He's holding you into existence. Here's your guardian angel's present. And Our Lady exists in God. She's there present with you driving. The saints say, for you to imagine Mary next to you versus imagining her looking at you from heaven, it's more real to imagine that she's here next to you. And because she has a body, so this is another thing that the saints say, that demons and angels, even though they're bodiless, they can have an effect on the physical surroundings. It's rare, but it can happen. Mary has a body, and so she is able to affect physiological changes in you, even if you don't feel them. So you pray to Mary because you're full of anxiety, fear, depression, etc. You're full of desolation. Call upon the name of Mary, and sometimes you'll just feel her presence. You'll feel her warmth. It'll feel like maybe the effect of if she had her hand on you. Maybe you don't feel her hand on your shoulder, but a peace comes over you. Now, the number one thing that you can do to have a holiness with Mary is to say, Blessed Mother, because right now that's a selfish relationship. I'll be honest. I call upon the name of Mary because I'm selfish and I want peace. But if I'm a good son like Jesus, Blessed Mother, what do you want of me? What can I do for you? And again, Mary's will and God's will are the same. Because God the Father had to give Jesus a perfect mother, because everything that Mary and Joseph told Jesus, he had to obey. The voice of God the Father rung out in the voice of Mary because Jesus had to obey his mother. So for Jesus, the will of God was the directions of his mother. And so because, and we'll talk about this more in a moment, the will of Mary and the will of God are perfectly united because she's spouse of the Holy Spirit. I could say, Mary, what is your will? And that is like saying, that might make you uncomfortable. And if you don't feel comfortable saying that, I understand. Don't say it. That might trigger you. You can say, God, what is your will? Mary, help me to hear it. Or you could just say, Mary, what is your will? Because that is basically asking God the Father what his will is and asking Mary's help to do it. And then you will enter into power, the power of God working through you when you do God's will. Then the Holy Spirit will flow through you because you're in union with the will of God and you're in union with the spouse of the Mother of God. And then grace will flow through you. If you think about the life of the Virgin Mary, when she greeted her cousin Elizabeth, what happened? At the sound of your greeting, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. The child in my womb leapt for joy. The Blessed Mother didn't have to explain to Elizabeth. Because the Blessed Mother was acting in the will of God, the Holy Spirit flowed through her. And that will happen in your lives. Let's say, for example, you have an in-law coming in. They don't practice the faith. You don't even like them. You wish your son didn't marry that woman. You really don't. You're like, why did he marry her? She doesn't like us. We don't like her. You say, Blessed Mother, Veronica is coming over for Thanksgiving dinner. And you pray the rosary. You're praying your rosary. You're asking her. And she says, you know, Veronica's favorite food is pumpkin pie. Or no, let's pretend Veronica's favorite food is sweet potato pie with raisins and marshmallows. She's a freak. And you make it for her. And all of a sudden, that gesture, because it was united to the will of God, the grace of the Holy Spirit flows through that. This young woman opens up her heart to you, and your relationship is forever changed. Because you were obedient to the voice of the Virgin Mary, and grace is flowing through you. Two more titles of Our Lady, and then we'll wrap up. Mary is the mediatrix of every grace. Grace is a gift from God for salvation. Every prayer that you ask from God, it comes from God through Mary. And every time Jesus answers a prayer, he will only answer your prayer if it will make you holier. So you're praying for a new car, and you're saying, I want a Mercedes, Lord. You better figure out a way that that Mercedes is going to make you holy, or you ain't getting it. I promise. Say, Lord, I'm going to put a divine mercy on the hood. I'm going to put an immaculate heart. I'm going to take off the Mercedes logo and put a miraculous medal. Maybe. I'm going to drive the homeless around so that they can feel like $1 million. Maybe you'll get it. But another key is, the theologians tell us, there's something called actual grace. Actual grace is the grace that God gives you in the present moment. I will give you a warning about the devil. He's not a monster. He's a whisperer. He's a seducer and a liar. And he will conjure up sins of your past, or even better, what he likes to do is offenses that other people committed against you, and he will bring them to the forefront of your mind. Or he will reach into the future and whisper to you lies about how you cannot trust in the providence of God. The devil tempts you with the future and with the past. But let me tell you the reality of it. They don't exist. Actual grace. Your life exists only in the present moment. Every abuse you've suffered, every injustice that has ever happened, it's only now in your imagination. Doesn't exist. Everything you're worried about the future does not exist. Saint Therese of the Child Jesus, a doctor of the church, said, if you want peace, entrust your past to the mercy of God. Entrust your future to the providence of God and live only for the present moment. God's will in the present moment is all that matters, and you will receive the grace of God to do his will right now. And I give you my word, if you live in the present moment and do God's will right now, tomorrow we'll take care of it. He will provide. Our Lord said in sacred scripture, the evils for tomorrow, there's enough of those, baby. Focus right now, my translation. But this is important. At every single second, you are receiving actual grace to do God's will. If Mary is the mediatrix of all grace, that means she must know exactly what is going on in your soul at every single moment, at every single hour. She knows every hair on your head. She knows every blood vessel that's flowing through your body. She knows it all. Call upon her. She is present. She is aware. And finally, she's the spouse of the Holy Spirit. We are suffering in the church with a crisis in the sacrament of confirmation. That's really what the crisis is in. Our Lord says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and the power of God will flow through you. The secret to that is union with his will. The secret to union with his will, according to St. Maximilian Kolbe, who is known as a pneumatologist, a theologian who studied the power of the Holy Spirit, he figured it out. Just before going to Auschwitz, he cracked the code. You want the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit? Become like Mary, the spouse of the Holy Spirit. Where the Holy Spirit finds Mary in a soul, he goes there. Where the Holy Spirit hears the name of Mary, he goes there. The power of God will flow through you. And we need the power of God in our lives. And that will only happen if two things happen. Blessed Mother, I believe that you are here. Blessed Mother, what is your will? I encourage every single one of you to surrender your lives to the Virgin Mary. I know many of you have done your Marian consecration. Many of you have said the words of consecration. You've said the words, but did you really mean it? Did you really mean it? Making a Marian consecration and living a consecration is totally different. Because many of us say, Mary, I give you my merits. Mary, I give you my family. I entrust myself to you. And entrustment is good. But you know what? Entrustment is wise. It's like going to Mary like she's your broker and saying, invest my money. Invest my prayers because I want a good return. But true Marian consecration is death. I'll tell you a quick story. So Our Lady has done many things, and the fruit of everything that I've ever done that is fruitful has been praying the rosary, listening to Mary, and doing her will. And lately, her latest project for me, all with a grain of salt, take this. I felt like she said, you're doing it in the U.S. You're setting souls on fire out of love for the rosary in the U.S. What you can do for one, you can do for 1,000. What you can do for the U.S., you can do for Portugal, you can do for Mexico, you can do for Spain, you can do for Russia, you can do for Poland, you can do for Germany, you can do for France. Only within and through Mary will there be a renewal of the church, because Mary always brings Jesus, Mary always brings the Holy Spirit. And again, when I say she said, I did not hear voices, interior convictions that if I don't follow them, I feel guilty. So she convicted me to make foreign language videos using artificial intelligence. And so I tested it out in Spanish. And it was killer. All my friends and family were like, my goodness, Gabriel, we knew you understood Spanish, but tu español es muy bueno. Uy, Dios mío, es muy bueno. Wow. And then I tested one video in Italian. I was like, dang, bro. Italian. I'm speaking Italian. Wow. I was like, let's go all in. Once I hit purchase, only one of the videos worked in every language, and I posted it. And I already was like, hey guys, we're going in all the languages. And every time I try to do my AI translation, I've had nothing but heartache and failure. I'm talking about I would spend 12 hours a day trying to get this to work, and just failure after, and I can't even express to you how frustrating it is. Failure after failure. And I contacted the company and I said, what's happening? When I was doing the lower tier, it was working. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, we're getting all these bugs and it does not work. And so I was getting to the end of like where you can ask for a refund. I said, Blessed Mother, what do you want? Like, and I was ready to quit. There was one day that my life was so dark. I felt the enemy. I now realize it was the enemy. The despair, you're so full of it. You're just talking to yourself. None of this is, it's all in your head, man. And my heart wasn't saying that. When I would pray, Our Lady would say, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. This has to be my work, not your work. If it's your work, you're going to be prideful. You have to fail so that you can see that it's all me. But I quit anyways. I didn't listen to that voice. I sent an email to the AI company and I said, I need a refund. And I felt really sad and depressed. I hadn't cried, but it felt like I'd been crying for days. And I wear two rings. One of them is a symbol that I wear as a reminder that I have to sacrifice and I have to do penance. And then I wear this ring as a sign of my Marian consecration. And I walked into my bedroom and I was going to wash my face after having quit. And my Marian consecration ring was missing. It wasn't on my hand. I didn't take it off. And I found it at the foot of my statue of Our Lady of Fatima. And I prayed and I said, Blessed Mother, what's going on? Why did you take my ring from me? And she says, because the essence of consecration is to do my will. If you're not going to do my will, you're no longer consecrated to me. And then I cried. It's hard to do God's will. You have to die. But unless you die, He cannot live. And I know many of you have family members, children who are away from the faith, and you feel it deep in your soul that you didn't just give them physical life, and you want to give them spiritual life. God is calling you to die for them. He's calling you to get on the cross for them. But that means you have to die. You have to go in deep prayer and listen to what the voice of God is asking you to do. And it's not going to be easy. The cross that He has for you is tailor-made just for you. And if you don't carry it, they will not be saved. But I give you my word, if you give your life to the Virgin Mary, your children, your husband, your parents become her children. Become her problems, and she has no problems. If you die and give her your life, I have no doubt in my mind that your family will be saved. I have no doubt in my mind. But you have to be willing to do and to go where she wants you to go and say what she wants you to say, even when it looks like there's no human hope. Hope is a theological virtue. Anybody can be confident where times are good. Hope is a firm conviction in things that are not seen, a firm conviction that God keeps His promises. We can't do this ourselves. So if you find yourself in circumstances where you don't think you can do it, you're exactly where God wants you. Let us conclude in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed Virgin Mary, we consecrate ourselves to your sorrowful and immaculate heart. We accept you as our mother. We ask that you give us your eyes, that we can see Christ the way that you see Him. We ask you that you give us your heart, that we can love Him the way that you love Him. Lord Jesus, Son of God, we thank you for the gift of your body, blood, soul, and divinity in the sacraments. We thank you for the gift of your constant mercy. And we thank you for the gift of your very own mother. We ask you, give us your eyes, that we can see her the way that you see her. Give us your heart that we may love her the way that you love her. Blessed Mother, as a sign of our consecration and our willingness to follow you, we will pray one Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you guys.